From the WLRN Miami Herald Studios, I'm Tim Padgett with the Latin America Report, made possible by Espirito Santo Bank and by Morrison Brown Argies and Farah, certified public accountants and advisors. Brazil is on the verge of becoming a developed nation, but its chronic slave labor problem is a reminder of how far it still has to go. Brazil was the last country in the Western Hemisphere to abolish slavery in 1888. Since then, deep social and economic inequality has kept the practice alive in much of its territory. The good news is that few countries today do as much as Brazil to confront slavery. In the past two decades, special police units have freed tens of thousands of enslaved workers like this man. They never paid us, they never paid us, he told the human rights website Witness.org. Brazil has also created a lista suja, or dirty list, of hundreds of companies found guilty of using slave labor.
We are ahead on this.
Leonardo Sakamoto is president of Reporter Brasil, a leading anti-slavery group. He spoke to me by Skype from Sao Paulo.
I believe that Brazil has a model, and it was considered by International Labor Organization as an example to the fight against slavery.
But activists like Sakamoto also know Brazil's fight is undermined by a lack of real punishment. Slaveholders can pay hefty fines and civil damages, but criminal convictions are rare. Karen Staus is Programs Director at Free the Slaves in Washington, D.C., which on Thursday is co-hosting a conference on human trafficking with Broward College in Davie.
We still have an estimate of approximately 200,000 people still in slavery today in Brazil. People are coming out of slavery, but it's a revolving door, and as one person comes out, because the slaveholder is not really punished, the new person goes in.
This year could change that. Brazil is moving closer to a constitutional amendment that would hit slaveholders where it hurts them most. The confiscation of their property, all of it. But that measure has been debated for more than a decade now and keeps getting held up. In the meantime, say critics, Brazilians remain vulnerable to slaveholders like the one described here to Witness.org by a freed worker named Valdemir.
Isso aí é serviço escravo.
When I complained that he was keeping me in slavery, Valdemir said, he told me the only right I had was a bullet from his 36-gauge shotgun. Brazilian laborers are often lured far from home by promises of good jobs. Once many arrive, however, they're shackled with bogus but insurmountable debts for travel, food, clothes, and tools. Hence, those workers never get paid, and many never escape. Sakamoto, who will speak at the Broward College conference, remembers the first time he saw indentured farmhands trapped like this in Brazil's northern Pará state in the Amazon.
We found 52 workers in very, very bad conditions.
They were living in squalid jungle barracks, he recalls, hunting to eat, drinking foul water, some of them left to die with disease. Groups like Sakamoto's have convinced government and the private sector to sign on to instruments like the Slave Eradication Pact. Under that agreement, companies representing a third of Brazil's GDP have not only renounced slave labor, they won't do business with anyone who uses it. That has encouraged foreign firms in Brazil, like U.S. automakers, to follow suit. Staus of Free the Slaves says other developing countries need to do the same thing.
That ability to reach into the supply chain is something that we see as unique in Brazil. So the Brazil government in collaboration with civil society is definitely a model element.
But the element that's missing is real deterrence, like that constitutional amendment, which the powerful farming and ranching lobby continues to block. Without it, Brazil's model is likely to stay muddled. I'm Tim Padgett in Miami. You can read more of our Latin America coverage on WLRN.org.
The Latin America Report is made possible by Espirito Santo Bank and by Morrison Brown Argies and Farah, certified public accountants and advisors.